Thank you, Andrea. That was beautiful. And my name is Cheryl Broderson. She aged overnight, about 25 years. I'm so blessed to be here with you this morning. My name, seriously, is Glenda Kaiser. Most of you know me, but if you don't, I'm just like, oh boy. You will in a few moments. Thank you for coming today. We are so excited to have a Thanksgiving celebration right here on Joyful Life Friday morning together. We do have a couple of announcements that are really, really important and we're excited about. First of all, how many of you have your Christmas coffee tickets already? All right, you're doing good. Okay, how many of you have not purchased your... Okay, well, you're blessed. Today in the patio, we will be making those tickets available today at $6. We're very excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Janie Alfred is coming to share with us. It's always a glorious morning. We'd have some special music, and it's always just a fabulous time. So please pick up your tickets out in the patio today. And if you're not prepared today, they will be available throughout the week and on Sunday in the church office until they run out. We still have some. So grab them up while we still have your opportunity to get them. And also, as you notice, if you came in on this side of whatever side that is, south, I think, that's the tent sale in front of the chapel store. Now, don't get up and go right now. I know you all love a bargain. I'm taking note if you get up and leave right now. Oops, I see somebody moving. The tent sale is going to be going on right after we dismiss today as well. So grab your Christmas coffee ticket and then go down and see what kind of a bargain you can find at the chapel store. They do have some great ones. And then FYI, today is our last study as far as lessons are concerned in meeting in your small groups until when? January. Oh, you've got some good leaders. They're making those announcements. Okay, that's good. January 6th, we will return and get started with the new year. I mean, I can't even believe it's Thanksgiving. It seemed like it was just the new year last week, but here we are. But I love Thanksgiving, and I have had 73 Thanksgivings, and the first one I don't remember because I was only 5 or 6 weeks old. After that, I'm sure I could just recall them. Seriously, you know better than that. But I do love Thanksgiving, and although there have been times when it's more difficult to give thanks, and I think you know about that. But you know what? The Joyful Life lesson is always marvelous. Always reminds me how deficient I've become in Thanksgiving and how negligent and how, you know, we just forget, don't we, to give thanks to our wonderful Lord who is so worthy of praise. And I love that we did Psalm 23. Thank you, Cheryl, for that anointed decision. Because after all, we're studying the life of David, and what better way to remind us and to get encouraged in the Lord and in Thanksgiving by studying one of David's terrific and yet the most familiar, one of the most familiar psalms in the Old Testament in our book of Psalms. So it blessed me. I hope it blessed you. I hope you've had a rich discussion in your groups today over that, and I think there might be still a few Thanksgiving lessons in the church office if you happen not to get one. And we'll see if we can find one for you. Anyway, so be blessed as you think about Thanksgiving. But as I mentioned, sometimes Thanksgiving is a challenge. We feel like it's more of a sacrifice of praise to give thanks. And there have been times in my life, I just want to share a couple of instances in my life, and then we'll pray about how difficult it was at times to give thanks. One year, I was so distressed that I made hamburgers for Warren and me. It was at a time when we were trying to release our adult children and we weren't doing a very good job. And so that day, our kids, my daughter had gone to be with a friend under some distressing circumstances. And then Mark, I think, was at a friend's house. So we had the two. We had Sherry and Mark. And so I made burgers for Warren. He didn't care about anything anyway. He'd just as soon have a hamburger. But yet, that day, I found it a little bit more challenging to give thanks because I cried off and on all day. And then there was our first Thanksgiving after the Lord took Warren home to be with him. And I know many, many of you know what that vacant chair is like. Those first holiday, that first Thanksgiving, that first Christmas and their birthday and so on. And so that time we were all together as the family, and we were very well aware of Warren's absence with us. And yet, we found cause, we found reasons to give thanks, and we can always do that if we choose to. Then there was the one unusual Thanksgiving, and I hope that you don't have to experience this, but one year, our whole family traveled to and spent Thanksgiving Day eating sandwiches out of a vending machine at one of the California State Prison because my son was there serving time for involuntary vehicular manslaughter. What an interesting Thanksgiving Day that was, as we sat in that room under great security, and yet we were eating together. We were together as a family, and God was doing a work. He doesn't make mistakes. And so we saw reason to give thanks, but it wasn't an ideal situation, would it? And so we know that we can find reasons to give thanks, and yet at times it is very challenging, and it can be very painful and difficult. So with that, let's pray together and think about why we need to give thanks and talk a little bit about Psalm 23. Father, no matter what our circumstances, we thank you that we have reason to thank you, and that if we take into account you and your blessings and get our eyes on eternal things, we can rejoice, we can give thanks, and we can praise you because you are worthy of praise. So I pray in this room today that you would minister to each and every woman who's gathered here. You know their hearts, you know their struggles, you know their joys, and God, I thank you that you are with us by your Holy Spirit to encourage our hearts and to build us up in the most holy faith. And we give thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So no matter what your circumstances, we know that you can find reasons to give thanks to the Lord. The other day I was reading in John 1:16, and it was in from the New Living Translation. I love this verse. From his abundance, of course that's God's abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Think of it, one gracious blessing after another. Do you know the old hymn, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Isn't that marvelous? If we take time, we can reflect on one gracious blessing after another from the Lord. How often do you count your blessings? How often do I stop and count my blessings? It's very rarely that I stop and think about and thank God for instance, the air I breathe, or the bed that I pillow my head in at night, or the car that's sitting in my garage or in your driveway, the food that's on our table. Do we really stop and think about those abundant blessing after blessing that we receive? I was thinking, too, about that. And what if God had created us with no teeth? You wouldn't enjoy your turkey dinner that well, would you? You'd have a little hard time. Or what about your taste buds? Have you thanked God for your taste buds? I mean, the meal, I don't think we'd have the weight problem we do if we didn't have taste buds. But God didn't have to do that. But look what he's done. Those myriad of blessings that we have and we take for granted. I am just so rejoicing in him today. I'm so thankful that I have eyesight. I'm so thankful that I have hearing. I'm so thankful that I have a sense of smell. And yet we don't stop to say thank you for these physical blessings, very often at least. And yet, even if I didn't have vision, if I didn't have hearing, the scripture says it's more important that I have spiritual sight, that I have spiritual hearing, because our shepherd calls us by name and he speaks and talks to us through his word. So we want to kind of keep that balance of thanking the Lord for the material, for the physical, for, you know, the practical blessings of life, but we want to also thank him for the spiritual blessings. And another scripture I wanted to share with you at the opening here, it's found in Isaiah 46, and it starts with verse 3b and verse 4. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which I am just being so blessed in my personal devotions with. But this is kind of a personal testimony for me. God did this for me. I don't know about you, but he did this for me. No, I'm not serious. I cared for you since you were born. Did you know that the Lord cared for you since you were born? Yes, he said, I carried you before you were born. God goes on to say, I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. Ta-da! I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Someone noted in their Bible, from the cradle to the grave, God carries me. I hope that comforts you today. It comforts me, and it's been so true in my own life. I can testify to God's carrying me and meeting me so faithfully year after year throughout my life, and especially since I became a widow about 14 years ago. I've been blessed, number one, with a full-time job here at Calvary Chapel with women's ministries. I've had people come from the body of Christ and repair some things in my home, including a new roof a few years ago. I've had a trip to Israel sponsored by one of the sisters. I had an opportunity to travel and to serve at the castle in Austria. I have had restful, relaxing vacation times in Catalina and in Carmel and even in Hawaii. Now, aren't I a blessed woman? I am so thankful God has done these things and for me and continues. And that's just to name a few. What a marvelous God. What a wonderful shepherd. He is such a wonderful provider in so many ways. He's blessed me. And yet, I was reading just this morning in Ruth Meyer's little devotional, and it made me think about how we so focus, and I do too, on the material things and on these things I just mentioned that are all, you know, physical, practical, beautiful things. But she says, and I hope I can read my scribbling on this notes here, she says that in Christ, even without these material blessings, physical blessings, trips or whatever, she says, he is a bottomless, shoreless ocean that I can swim in. He is a vast sky for me to fly in. I can run to him and rise to new heights in him. He offers the best and travels the best with not having to use a Visa card. He has a beautiful opportunity for us to meet with him in his word and plummet the depths of the incredible truth in God's words. He wants to have our focus and our attention and our hearts, most of all, fastened on him. And so let's try to do that through these holidays and beyond. Because if we begin to thank him, you know, we can't thank God and be grumbling and complaining at the same time, can we? It's a lesson for us to continue to thank the Lord. And I find that doing an alphabet of praise helps me. We've done that with our kids when we're traveling, and with our grandkids. Just start with A and just work through the alphabet. And when you get to Z, it's a little bit more challenging. But, you know, I'm sure you have some smart ones in your family. But I try to do this sometimes on my own. If I'm starting to, you know, find my emotions are dragging, or just because he's called us to praise and worship and thank him every day, I love to just use the alphabet of praise as a springboard. So God is so faithful. If we have many physical blessings that we can thank him for. But you know what? If you have Jesus, you have many, many spiritual blessings that should fill our hearts with gratitude. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. That's 2 Peter 1:3, and that's from the New Living. Did you underscore in your mind, did you capture it? The word everything capture your heart? God hasn't left anything out that we need. King James, for life and godliness. God has given us everything we need. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about everything I need for spiritual life and for my entire life, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you received Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. And he came to not only teach you and instruct you in the word, but he came to give you power. He came to give you victory. He came to give you comfort. He came to give you the strength you need for your daily walk in Christ. Do we stop and say, thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and living in me. But then we have the word of God, the unfailing, absolute truth, his instruction, his counsel, his correction, his guidance. All is found in the word. And it's so practical. We meet at every point of need, don't we, if we take time to look at it. It's specifically designed to walk us through life. And what a joy, what a blessing. And so we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, and we have the community. That's you and us together here in the sanctuary as we gather. The church. God has blessed us with a family, a church family, gifted, loving people where we can come and be nurtured, where we can be built up and edified, where we can grow together. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for your church that we are each a part of. I want to focus now on Psalm 23, just to break it down perhaps with a few thoughts. First of all, I love Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One version says, I have all I need. We have everything in him for life and godliness. And this translation, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Can you say that today? Yes, we can. But let's focus for a moment on the shepherd. First of all, the shepherd is tender. Isaiah 40:11 proves that. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. What a tender shepherd we have. Do you long for tenderness? My husband had a little difficulty with tenderness, but my shepherd doesn't. I can find what I need. All I need is wrapped up in Jesus. He's compassionate. That's Matthew 9:36. For when he saw the multitudes, talking of Jesus, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. What a compassionate, what a loving shepherd. What an observant shepherd. What a caring shepherd. He's also sacrificial and good as our shepherd. And we know John 10:10, B, I have come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundant. And here, this version of that verse 10 and 11, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly because I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's Jesus' purpose for you today, to give you a rich and satisfying life. I think mostly that can be found in the spiritual realm, because we all know that we don't always have a rich life as far as temporal things. But he's talking the eternal. He came to give us abundant life, a rich and satisfying life. He's also committed to his sheep and pursues the ones who stray. We find that out from Luke and Matthew 2, but Luke 15:4-5, Jesus said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That's the kind of shepherd Jesus is. We can trust him. We can lean on him. We can go to him. And he is there. He's all loving. He's understanding. He's all knowing. He's all wisdom. In Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. He's all powerful. He's unlimited. We sang this morning, he is stronger. He is stronger. And he's able to, because he created the mountains, he can help us ascend those mountains in our life, or he can remove them when he chooses. Let's think then a moment about the sheep. As we, of course, the sheep, it's a picture of us as human beings, right? And I sort of, we all love, a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm and we find so much about the sheep and we find out that we're not near as smart as we thought we were. And yet, and how dependent we are on the shepherd. But what I wanted to focus on for a few moments, there are several basic human needs that we as humans have. And the first one, of course, is love. We are born with a need for love, and that doesn't change. Every human being needs love. We want to be accepted. We need to belong somewhere to someone. And God has put that in each of our hearts. He has made us as humans that way. And so we long for and need a loving relationship with even just one other person. And that person, of course, can be Jesus Christ and should be. So within the framework of that is the need to be understood. Your husband's never going to understand you. I just have to tell you that right up front. But Jesus does. And what a comfort, what a peace that brings to our hearts. But isn't it interesting that David in Psalm 23 talked about the Lord as his personal shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. He knew he belonged to the Creator God, to the shepherd of Israel. He knew he could have that intimate, loving relationship with his shepherd. And of course, when we read the Psalms, we know David knew who God was, and he had that tender, loving relationship. And yet with that, there was that freedom to be real, the freedom to express his frustrations, the freedom to just speak out what was in his heart, those emotions. I mean, if you need to emote, go to the Psalms. David will help you. Because he cried out to the Lord, and he poured his heart out to the Lord, expressing those things. But that's what we need. We need an intimate walk and relationship with the shepherd. And we're told in the New Testament, in fact, Jesus says, I call my sheep by name. Isn't that precious? Now, I forget 99% of your names, but Jesus never forgets your name. He never forgets my name. He calls us by name. What a precious, intimate Savior and Shepherd. He not only, our intimacy is even to the level of where he leads us. He watches over us. He provides for us. He is our constant companion, and since I've become a widow, that has become more and more a treasure to me, that he's always with me. He is my husband. He is my constant companion. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that this morning? I hope you are, because if you don't have Jesus today as your shepherd, you can. You can have him right this minute before you go out those doors. Just respond to his call to you. He's calling you by name. Come to me. Come to me. I am the good shepherd. I've laid down my life for the sheep. I want to know you and walk with you on an intimate level, that companionship. Thank you, God, for being our shepherd. Another human need is for security. I think especially as women. I think men need it too. They just don't tell us that they need it. But God designed us as human beings with a need for security. And with that goes provision, because when we think of security, we think of food and water and shelter and just those physical needs, those practical needs that we need for living. And along with that comes the need to feel safe, to feel protected, that security that's all wrapped up in those things. And once again, look at Psalm 23, what the Lord says in his word, what the shepherd has done. For he's provided food, the green pastures, he provides water and rest for his sheep. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside those still waters. He restores my soul. That's, do a word study on that. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. The Lord can restore all of those parts of our being. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love it, don't you? So within the framework of that security, again, is we need to be free from fear. Sheep need to be free from fear in order to rest. The shepherd protects his sheep and provides that safety that they need. Why? Because it says here, he is with us. He is the shepherd to protect, to shield, to deliver, to beat off and to scare away the enemy, those wolves, those predators. He says he protects us so that we fear no evil, because even in the face of death, we can fear no evil. Why? Because God is your shepherd and because he is with you. Jesus satisfies the need for love. He satisfies the need for security. And he also satisfies the need for hope. That is another human need. But let me give you a couple more verses. Got ahead of myself here in my notes. In Psalm 9:10, David said, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Again, he's with you. Those promises are for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, we are told in the scriptures. He is that one who is there for you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. He is that hiding place. He is that place of safety. And so we rejoice in that security and that what we have in Jesus. Now, another one, as I mentioned, need is for hope. Without purpose and meaning and hope in this life, we know what happens to an individual. We see hopeless people, and they have no purpose, they have no meaning, and they have no cause for wanting to live. What a terrible place to be, and the Lord doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to have that hope that he's brought to us. Look at verse 5. To me, this speaks of hope. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." One commentary referenced 2 Samuel 17:27 through 29 here, when David was running from his son Absalom, who was trying to take over the throne. Remember, he had to escape for his life, and a band of his followers went with him, and there they were out in the wilderness. And this is what these scriptures say happened at 2 Samuel 17:27 to 29, if you're taking notes. "Certain men brought wheat, barley, flour, parched grain and beans, lentil, parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese for David and for the people who were with him to eat. For they said, 'The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness.'" God provided a table spread for David and his men in the presence of his enemies. And God wants to do that for you and for me. He is there for you in your crisis times. He's there to bring you hope, to bring you encouragement, whether it's in the form of a practical need like food, but that we understand that picture. He goes on to say he anoints our head with oil. Our cup runs over. Anointing suggests meaning and purpose, doesn't it? David was anointed to be king of Israel. That was God's purpose for him. That brought meaning to David. And he has chosen you and chosen me for purposes as well. He says in Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ." What a wonderful purpose. What a wonderful meaning. Maybe you feel like you're not that valuable. God chose you. He has a purpose. He brings meaning into your life. That's the kind of shepherd we have. If this doesn't give you a sense of purpose, I don't know what will. We have been given these meaningful, these wonderful scriptures and promises. We should be thanking God. We should be rejoicing all the day long for our spiritual blessings. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us at this place of hope. Thank you for choosing me, for filling my cup with overflowing blessings, as one version puts it. Overflowing with your blessings. It reminds me of the first scripture. He blesses us with blessing after blessing. What a wonderful God. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That also brings hope, but it brings hope in the sense of every day God has a purpose. God has meaning. Exodus 34:6 says, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness. What a beautiful description of the Lord. And we also know that the scripture tells us, and I believe it's in Lamentations, that his mercies are new every day. The day of Mark's accident, when I was called and told he'd been taken to jail, one of the brothers here, I was weeping, and he stopped and he said, "Today the Lord's given you new mercies." I had new mercies to walk through a new trial. God has new mercies for you today, regardless of if the sun's shining, which it isn't, but, you know, if the sun's shining or if it's cloudy or dark or you're going through the valley of the shadow, God gives you hope because he is merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. What a hope for today. And yet, that doesn't stop for today. It says we have hope for tomorrow. We have a hope for the future because he says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." How long? Forever and ever and ever. Think about the hope that we have for the future. And if you're kind of saddened about your hope for today or tomorrow, think about your hope for the future. Again, we need to reconsider that eternal perspective. Our shepherd, our Jesus, our loving God has given you meaning and purpose for life and an extraordinary hope for the future. In closing, I want to just consider another picture to wrap this idea up. When we think of Thanksgiving in the natural, we think of family and feasting, don't we? That just kind of comes with it, and that's good. Some throw in football, but that's okay. I don't have an analogy for football right here. But we do think of family and feasting. And Matthew 8:11 caught my attention. God says, "I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west." And what are we going to do? We're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, at the feast of the kingdom of heaven. Can you wait? Think about that family feast. Isn't that, what a joy. What a wonderful thing to think about, to reflect on. Imagine sitting at the table with our wonderful, precious Jesus, first of all, but adding the blessing of having the Old Testament patriarchs, including David. Wouldn't you like to chat with David a little while? And think about the New Testament apostles. The disciples will be there. Paul will be there. Mary and Martha and Lazarus will be there. And we have to interview them a little more. Where's Bonnie? She needs to interview Mary and Martha and Lazarus and talk to them a little bit about, how about your other Bible heroes? They'll be there too. Think about it. And if that isn't enough, among the gathering at the table, enjoying that Thanksgiving feast, will be saints of old like Polycarp. I wonder what Polycarp looks like. How about Luther? How about Wesley? How about Spurgeon? How about George Mueller? How about Amy Carmichael? And how about Fanny Crosby, the blind saint who wrote hundreds of hymns with her spiritual sight? He's got wonderful blessings. What a tremendous Thanksgiving feast is awaiting us. And of course, you want to add your precious loved one that will be there, united with you again. What a fabulous future awaiting us. We want to thank him for that. And yet through that, meanwhile, he says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need." That's for day. That's for every day. The Amplified of 1:16, John, that I started with, "Out of his fullness, that is abundance, we have all received, all had a share in, and we're all supplied with grace, one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." That's why they call it the Amplified. But we need to amplify in our own hearts and minds and think about these things. Let's be grateful, not just on November 24th, 2011, but every day let's be thankful. Because we are exhorted in Colossians 3:15, if for no other reason, God says, be thankful. That's a short exhortation, but nonetheless, it's a directive from God for you and for me. No matter what, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. David reminds us that every good thing I have comes from you, Lord. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and he satisfies your life with good things. Therefore, David said, I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. Let's pray. Father, we do have cause, abundant cause, blessing after blessing, favor upon favor, gift upon gift, heaped upon us, Lord. Truly out of your abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. And yet we get so caught up in what we don't have. Our focus is so low, God. We forget to look up. We forget to count our spiritual blessings. We forget to thank you for the common things in life. For instance, the air. For instance, Lord, the presence of your spirit. Lord, for laughter, for vision. Oh, Lord, we could just list on and on. Teach us how to list and thank you. But Lord, not just to make lists, but to actuality, stop and praise you and thank you and bless you because you are worthy of praise. And you truly, you are good. And the psalmist said to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Minister to your women today and throughout these days. Meet their every need because you are the good shepherd and you provide everything they need. We need in Jesus' name. Amen.